We hope that you'll stay for a short discussion of the film in context of Eugene. We have four wonderful panelists who will share their unique perspectives on how this crisis affects Eugene and the work that's being done to make a difference. We won't have time for a long discussion though, so be sure to be brief with your anecdotes and questions. But thank you for sitting through this documentary with us, and I hope you've opened to a new level of awareness. And you know, the context of this movie isn't blaming any individual for their behavior, but really a look at the human condition, and I really enjoy that. So we're going to dive into the discussion next, and as a reminder, we don't have a lot of time, but we're going to try and get through as much as we can. So allow me to introduce our panelists today. We have Dan Bryant, who is the executive director of Square One, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. Whose belief is that everyone deserves a safe and stable place to call home. I agree. Our next individual will be Timothy Williams. He is a community member that's done a lot of outreach and feeding and meeting with and continuing conversations around the homelessness crisis. Our next guest will be Heather Quaz Anza. Sorry.
You actually did it correctly. Good job.
Heather Quaz Anza, the director of philanthropy at Community Supported Shelters. Which again, they're leading the way in shelter options for individuals experiencing homelessness. And then last but not least, another community member, Adam Woods, who has experienced homelessness after a health diagnosis. He's currently a part of CSS's system and celebrating his life despite his story. And you know, now you get to hear from his perspective as well. So, I do want to warn everyone, though, this is going to be recorded by KEPW Eugene Peaceworks. If you don't want to have your voice recorded for any reason, you can just whisper in the ear of the person who has the microphone and they'll ask the question for you. And so, yeah, shall we begin? I have a few questions myself, just one or two, and then we'll open it up to everyone else here. So if you guys could all answer this question. Who are you, and what is your lived experience as it pertains to the homelessness crisis in Lane County?
I'm Dan Bryant. My lived experience is as the pastor of a downtown church, a First Christian Church in the heart of Eugene, where I began my ministry in 1991, so served 29 years. And being in that location, we were dealing with unhoused folk on a regular basis. We had a number of different ministries, the biggest of which was the free Sunday breakfast, serving about 300 people every Sunday morning, most of them unhoused. But in all total, with all of our different ministries, clothing ministries, housing ministries, counseling ministries, we had over 22,000 contacts annually with unhoused folk. Now, many of those were repeat folk, but just that gives you an idea of the kind of traffic we were dealing with. And so when the opportunity came up with some folks in the wake of the Occupy movement to try to figure out how to create some new shelter in our community, because we hadn't created any in a decade or two, I became a part of that group that eventually became Opportunity Village and then Square One Villages that now does affordable housing. But it's very much out of that work and that experience of just dealing and hearing very similar stories that we heard in this movie, just over and over again, and feeling like somebody's got to go upstream and figure out why there are so many drowning people that we're constantly pulling out of the river. And so that became part of my story of trying to figure out how to go upstream to keep people from falling into the river. So that's what I'm doing. I actually left the church in 2020, just as the pandemic was beginning. Because it was just too much to do both that and the nonprofit that we established, and had to give up that ministry that I deeply loved in order to devote full-time to this nonprofit and this work that I also deeply love and just my passion, to try to figure out a way to make a difference to create housing for more folk in our community.
I'm a concerned citizen, neighbor, and I just found myself doing a lot of the same work just by saying hello and caring.
In 2011, I left a long-term abusive relationship. My kiddo was 3 years old at the time, and I couldn't stay in a relationship and have my kiddo grow up thinking that this was the way you treat someone that you love or say you love. And so I left and subsequently lost my job and then lost my housing and quickly became aware that I didn't know what to do and I didn't know who to turn to. If it wasn't for the community really rallying around me and supporting me and helping me figure out what my next steps were, my kiddo and I would have ended up on the streets. But I had community support and was able to get a food box and get assistance going back to school and get counseling for my kiddo and I. And that helped keep us off the streets. And when I had the opportunity to join community supportive shelters just about 2 years ago, it really resonated with me because it's the community that kept me going. It's the community that kept my spirits up and my ability to think about the future and not just get so bogged down with the heaviness of day-to-day life. And so being with an organization that allows me to lend that to support to someone else is, it's life-altering, and I want to be able to do that.
Thank you, Heather. That movie was something else. I really felt it inside being part of this community-supported shelters. I've been homeless for 2 years, not due to most of the reasons that we just saw. I was diagnosed with cancer in 2020. And given until November to live, which I had very rigorous chemo for about 20 months, and made it, and here I am. So,
yay!
Now that I've been, it's an economic situation that ended up being homeless. And after seeing the movie, kind of resonates with me about what does homeless look like. And sometimes it's not easy to notice, as you can see. I think the awareness and being able to recognize how much these people need help in so many different ways. And like I said, you can't always notice it. It could be anybody, and for many different reasons. And the 2 years that I've been out here, I've seen a lot of people fall through the cracks. I wouldn't say a lot of people, but there is a section out there that are falling through the cracks. And I would really like to help prevent that from happening. There's a lot more obvious people that are out there, and they're easier to help because it's obvious, but there's some out there that are really hurting that don't know how to ask for help. There's just not that education out there to do that. So I think it's really important that we try to recognize that and give a little bit more of ourselves. And I do it on a daily basis with the people out there every day. And I find myself just having to listen a little bit harder and open my heart and listen, and sometimes that'll just make their day just by giving a little bit of love.
So I have one more question, and it's sort of in alignment with the movie and how the title sort of flips the narrative on its head. You think us and them, and you immediately think it's about, oh, us people that live inside versus those people that live outside, but really it's about our emotional experience reflected in those that are experiencing the same thing, but from just a different perspective. And so with that being said, what has been the biggest challenge that you faced in working in this environment? I know that that's such a multifaceted question, but really, like, not just with other people, but how has that been reflected with your personal experience?
Seeing how much there's almost this veil in society where they just don't recognize you. And I think there's a, it just gives us pain and loneliness and emptiness that people, you say, you ask, you know, you reach out and you ask, and there's people who are like, you know what, I'm just tired, I'm ready to go home. And you know they got their flat screen TV. I mean, I've been out here for 2 years, and you just start, there's so many things that we take for granted. And I would say that would be one of the biggest things, is that we just take so much for granted when we have so much to be grateful for. The homeless situation, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be really tough. But I think we can do it. And I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I came up here for treatment. And this community in Eugene, I think is very resilient, and I think it's very strong. We have very good community support here. I think it's gonna work. I think we can do this here. Mm-hmm. We pull together and just try to, it's really just about love too.
Go down the line with it. So since being a part of this industry, the amount of blame that gets put on people is pretty astounding, especially when so many of us are a single paycheck away from being unhoused ourselves. And I think that's one of the things that I've noticed more than anything, is it's easy to put the blame on someone else, saying, you know, this is your fault, this is your problem, you got yourself in the situation, without knowing the backstory. We don't know if someone is struggling with a health issue. We don't know if someone is leaving an abusive relationship. We don't know if someone's car broke down, or their mother is in hospice, or any number of things that cause these traumatic experiences. We don't have that knowledge, and we're just judging people based on what we see, and not necessarily what is the reality, what is really going on for them. So that's the biggest thing, is you can't put a blame on this. There's a lot of supports that are needed out there, and not everyone knows how to get those supports.
Can you ask the question again?
What was the most challenging aspect of working in this community, in this context?
For me, it's staying encouraged.
You didn't give me enough time, more time to think, Timothy. I've been working on my answer all this time. I'll cheat and I'll say two things. One is empathy, and I think, Heather, you kind of touched a little bit on that in terms of blame, but the lack of empathy, and that's what I've so enjoyed appreciating this film. It's hard to watch that film and not have some empathy for people and their struggles, because as we discovered in the film, it's we all experience pain in our lives, right? And a lot of those who are unhoused deal with that very significant trauma, and that's part of the contributing factor. And so being able to tap into that, to identify with that, and have empathy with that person on the street, so it's not us, them, so that it's we. I think that's huge to come over that barrier. The second one I'll name is math. And it's just that this problem is so big, it's gonna be so expensive to fix. And I've done a lot of thinking about this. I'm working on a piece right now that hopefully I'll get published in the Eugene Weekly before too long. But when to fix this problem, we just have to build a whole lot of affordable housing. And the problem is, it's very expensive to build. And when you're dealing with the numbers that we are dealing with, where we have 4,000 to 5,000 people, unhoused people every month, And then, you know, there's folks coming and going all the time, so in a year's time, it's about 9,000 or better. To create enough housing, we have to be building upwards to 1,000, and I heard Jacob Fox at Homes for Good even say 1,500 units of affordable housing every year for the next 10 years or so. We hit a peak just in the last 2 years, about 400 to 450 new units of affordable housing in our community. For the 8 years prior to that, it was in the neighborhood of 150 to 200. And that's really the crux of the problem, is that we have not been building near enough. And as a result, we have this dearth of affordable housing. That means it doesn't matter that you're an addict or poor or have health issues, lost your job, whatever the issue is. The reality is a percentage of the most vulnerable people are going to be unhoused no matter what we do, because it's just numbers. There's not enough housing to provide affordable housing for all those in need. And to fix that problem is going to take hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's a huge, huge math challenge.
Well put. Let's open up the conversation to the audience. If you have a question, raise your hand and you'll get a microphone.
How consistent do you find for the chronically homeless? I mean, there's many paths. It could be a medical, it could be a loss of a job or whatever, but in the chronically homeless, how many carry childhood trauma? They made that statement in the film, and how consistent is that?
Oh, it's huge. It's upwards 90% or higher. Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Totally agree.
What I've been experiencing is that once you talk to the people, even in CSS, with community-supported shelters and then out on the street, the numbers are unbelievable how many people have been. It's just amazing, and their stories, and I hear a lot of them. It's heartbreaking how many people are. But it does reach out to a lot of different things, and what that looks like can be so many different things, like what Heather was talking about, and those scars are just not that easy to see. And we need more people out there that can work with the mentally ill. We really do. Because you have a lot of us out there that are dealing with medical, and I get two or three people a week or a month that say to me, I'm their therapist. And, obviously I'm not. I'm a HVAC specialist and a musician. Those are my specialties. I would be encouraged to maybe go in that field and use some of my talents to help people in their mental struggles.
Timothy, I have a question for you, because I remember hearing your story a few years ago and feeling so inspired by how one person or two can start to make a difference. And I'm wondering if you could kind of briefly share with the audience a little bit about how you've made a difference in this community, because your story was really inspiring to me.
Thank you, Kristen. Okay, so my name is Timothy Williams. I'm a military brat. Is that too loud?
No, that's perfect.
Is that good? That's good? Good. Grew up as a military brat, so I always, my father was a pastor, so I always knew how to, get into a city and just meet people, because you had to very quickly before you were going to move or something like that. So me and my family, we by default decided to live in a motel, and then we enjoyed living in a motel on 6th Street here in Eugene, right across from, in between Chambers and Polk. And in that, we just continue to say hello, meet people, get to know them, start the conversation is what I call it, because that's really how you get to find out if they're lying, if they're telling the truth, if they're just trying to get some money, or if they're just picking at you, trying to waste your time. So we would keep that conversation going. At one point, one of my neighbors asked us to help get rid of all this food, how you can get participated with the mission or a nonprofit that gets a lot of food. And we just started giving it out at the motel because we use it again as a way to keep the conversation going, getting to know the person and know their need. That moved into like, it got so big, my landlord asked me to take it somewhere else. And I agreed, it was yeah, you know, Eugene style. So, but we took it to, if you know it, it's called the Alluvium over on 3rd and Monroe, and we did it there. And so we started a food thing. This was started with me and my children, just so you know, a wagon. It started with a wagon, and my children decided to help their dad. And we only took in as much food as we felt we could get out, because I didn't want to be the guy stashing, you know, 16 boxes of bell peppers on the corner of the street and then trying to take off, because that's how much food there is. So we just kept giving it out and giving it out. Eventually, we were able to create one out with community. We did do some work with Community Shares and Cottage Grove, and then it went out to London, Dunlop, and now they're doing like these. The girls have just decided to deliver the food to these people's houses. A refugee Guatemalans and many other families have signed up because it was difficult. Anyway, it grew, obviously. It got beautiful and big, but it started with the wagon. Did I answer? Well, is that one? That's one. There's many more that have happened, but that's just one that's still going on, breaking out more and more.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Hi. You mentioned, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. The woman second, yeah.
Heather.
You mentioned that there are a lot of people who are homeless who just don't know the support that is out there. So my question is, what is the most meaningful, tangible, lasting advice or support that I, as a person walking on the streets of Eugene, could do to help somebody who is homeless?
Acknowledge they exist. Literally just a smile is huge. In terms of letting people know where their supports are, have a list of where the shelters are. And it's hard because most of us are full and have months and months long wait lists. So even if someone knows where a shelter is, it doesn't mean they're going to get a place to stay for the night. But having just knowing what those resources are, knowing where the nearest food pantry is, offering them a soft granola bar, soft, not something crunchy, and a bottle of water is honestly huge. But
okay.
A smile and acknowledging they exist is a long way to humanizing someone who is often overlooked by society.
Would you say the same, Adam?
Yeah, that would definitely go far. It would, depending on what time of the year, in the summer, it could be the right clothing for summer, it could be the right clothing for winter. Like Heather said, there's a lot of people they can't house right now, right away. With community-supported shelters, it says safe spot. We have people at the gate. It's sad. They want to come in. Mm-hmm. And we can't. We just simply can't just let them. And it's heartbreaking. Because we have people come up to our gate all the time. And they see that safe spot. And they're like, wow, it's a safe spot. And we have to send them over to the office. And they've got to sign in. And they've got to use some initiative because you can't just get in, sign your name, and then think they're going to call you up. You have to go there every week and let them know that, for one, you're interested and you're still alive, because they can't chase everybody on the street. They've got to make this, they've got to make the attempt to be in that program. So, and it's not selective. I mean, they take every types and styles of people. It's a very difficult situation that we're dealing with. It's heartbreaking, very heartbreaking after what we just saw. And there's different levels. Some of it is just really severe, We have people that talk to themselves every day, and we have some people that are Einsteins. So you just never know. There's all different aspects. So
thank you.
He was going to say something about it too.
I was going to kind of just elaborate on the fact that don't dismiss your neighbor that's living in the $500,000 community that's in a house. I think that's the point of this movie, is ask everybody, how are you doing? Are you hungry? Just ask them, because you'll be surprised that even though they're sitting in a house dressed in Tommy Hilfiger, they're hungry, but they won't tell you that because they're supposed to be an us and they're supposed to be a them.
You know, the thing that struck me about the movie that was most important, I love the part about the medicine wheel, that was just fascinating, and some of the other things, but really, really what was most important to me was the relationship. This woman developed a relationship with four individuals. Over what was the period of 10 years, I think, or better, that she covered that. I mean, what if we all just developed that kind of relationship with just a couple of individuals? Just get to know those folk. Know your boundaries, right? It's important to keep the boundaries. You've got to stay healthy. But just to get to know someone's name, know their story, agree to meet with them for coffee every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, that kind of thing. I think that could have a profound difference, if not on those individuals, it will on you.
Giving them hope.
Yeah, giving hope to people. Yeah, you could see that in their face when she showed, they would just lighten up, and this was somebody who cared about them and someone that loved them, and they felt love, and there was this relationship that was very beautiful. That for me was the real takeaway of this movie.
The reason what Dan's program does, like what they do and then what we do at community support shelters, the reason we're successful is because of those relationships that are created. People have someone they can talk to, they have someone they can turn to, they have someone that has been through what they've been through and has come out on the other side. They have that relationship piece, and that is what it's often lacking, is you feel so, so alone when you're going through this. Whether it's a severe, you have a cancer diagnosis and no one else is experiencing that around you, or you're unhoused, or you're addicted, or you're getting out of a terrible situation. It's very isolating. And so creating that sense of community and making it so you have someone to talk to and you're not alone is what helps everybody.
That's beautiful. And I will say also, if you're going to reach out to someone, be willing to be authentic and share your experience as well. But that's the end, guys. We don't have any more time left over.
Thank you for your wonderful perspective. And thank you all for listening and staying and engaging in this conversation with us.
You can find more information about the organizations present outside in the tabling area. And one final note, we will have another movie showing next month called Fixing Food. And it's going to be stories of people who are working to lower our carbon footprint and find new ways to gather food that we'll need. So be sure to come out for that. That's November 16th, next month at 6:30 here. As well as sign up on our mailing list if you're not. You can find that on the table outside, and be sure to like us on Facebook. Hopefully we'll see you next month.